sports, talent, and brands. Woo! This is the Sit Down, standing tall together.
Hi everyone, I'm Elaine Stenson, and welcome to The Sit Down, the podcast that explores the mindset, the motivations, and the opinions of elite talent and brands represented by Sport Endorse. This season, we're focusing on the Irish Olympians going for gold at the Tokyo Olympics in 2021. Today's guest is badminton sensation Nat Nguyen. Having moved to Ireland from Vietnam at a young age, Nat has represented Ireland with distinction in numerous championships and has his eyes firmly set on the Tokyo Olympics. This was a fascinating conversation and insight into an elite athletic mindset. Enjoy. So Nat, you're very welcome to the Sit Down.
Thank you for having me.
So you're a four-time Irish national champion in badminton, and your aim is to shock everyone in Tokyo in 2021.
Yes.
So let's go back to the start. So you were actually born in Vietnam.
Yeah.
And your family moved to Ireland when you were 6 years old, is that right?
Yes, that's correct, yeah.
And tell me how you started playing badminton, and what was it like to move to Ireland when you were six?
At the time, I didn't know I was moving to Ireland, really. So my parents, so in Ireland where we were from, just outside of Hanoi, the capital city. So yeah, we were from like a countryside village, so let's say the standard of living wasn't that great. So my parents took a gamble to come to Ireland, and it worked out quite well so far, I think. But moving to Ireland was, of course, it was tough at the start, which the language barrier and language definitely, and then the food and climate as well, getting used to that. But once after a couple months, a year, it was fine. You just get used to it. And I think starting badminton, I started badminton when I came to Ireland just as to keep myself, let's say, entertained, because I didn't. So yeah, I had no real friends coming over, so I followed my parents around a lot. So that's, and my dad played some badminton in the local club, so I guess that's how I started badminton, just trying to fit in, I guess.
From what I've read, you didn't actually like badminton when you started. So what made you, now you probably never dreamt you'd be representing Ireland at the Olympics in badminton?
Let's just say when I was a kid, I was a little bit on the chubby side, so I didn't like moving around and hitting the shuttle over the net. But as I just followed my dad everywhere, and I just started liking it, because I found out it was more than just moving around. It was some skills and definitely some tactical element that I liked about it. So that's how I started enjoying it, and that's how I started.
Did your parents press you a bit then to keep it up if you didn't like it? Like, the natural thing for a child is to say, I don't want to go, or I don't want to do it, and pretty easy to just give up, because without knowing that you have this talent. Was it your parents that kind of pushed you into staying in it, or did you just kept at it? You've said you're a stubborn person, so did that kind of bit of your personality kick in that you didn't want to give up?
My parents wasn't like forceful anyway. It's, so if you want to come, and I end up coming because I was bored at home, so I'd rather go to just see my dad play or just have fun just running around the court. I'd rather do that than stay at home. So I guess, and then you just pick up a racket and then just start experimenting, doing different little tricks and skills. And then that becomes fun. And then that's how it started.
And then how did you become so recognized with your talents? Was it through school, or was it a local club, or where did you really start to excel?
So I think we moved to Dublin when I was 8 or 9. And there was a badminton court in Balladoyle, I think. And me and my dad was just hitting on one day on the court. And there was a club night coming on, actually. And then the club coach just asked me if I'm in a club, because he saw I could there, I can hit the shuttle over the net. I can play quite well for my age. But he asked me if I was in a part of the club, so I said no. So would you like to join? And yeah, I joined. It was Phoenix Bampton Club. Phoenix Bampton Club, and that's how I started, just playing. I think it was every Monday night, and then gradually it got better, and I started playing more every day, and I wanted to play more and more because I was beating the other kids, and that was quite enjoyable, winning. So yeah, that's how it started.
Do you think it helps that your family are so into sports? Because I know your sister is into sports as well, and you said your dad kind of got you in. So coming from a family like yours, that's kind of part of your success?
Yeah, definitely. I think my dad, I think definitely the sports gene is in my dad's side of family. I think my mom does not like sports, so I think I definitely get it from my dad's side of family. And yeah, my dad was quite athletic when he was younger. You can tell the way he's built. So yeah, my sister was, of course, a weightlifter. And yeah, I guess it was definitely, we're a very like driven family, let's say. We always want more. And I can definitely feel that as I get older, I'm a lot like my dad. And yeah, and my sister also the same. We always want more, even if it's like business or sports or anything like that relating. We always want more. So yeah, I think it definitely comes from my family, all the definitely the success I've had so far, definitely. Yeah.
And you've played soccer as well. Did you ever think of doing soccer? Did you ever focus on that to win medals? And did you ever go on to play that at any league level?
Kind of. I think I was under nines, under tens. I think I was under tens because I was too weak when playing soccer. So I would just get bullied off the ball. And when someone would give me a shoulder, I'd bully off the ball. So I was more kind, I'd say, the skillful player around the football, but I wasn't strong enough. So yeah, Bampton is more a technical and skillful sport, even though it's very physical demanding also. But yeah, I like to be more skillful with my hands than my feet. So that's, yeah, I didn't really have real ambition to become a footballer, just my friends was all playing on the team. So yeah, I like to just, it was for fun. It was fun for me just to play football, yeah.
And I imagined when you were younger, you were a little bit chubby and sort of when you were playing soccer, you didn't feel you had the strength to do it.
Yeah.
It just makes me think of nutrition. So nutrition is obviously a topic that many athletes are conscious of, but you have a real passion for food. Tell us more about that.
Yeah, definitely. I think being a Vietnamese, from the Vietnamese culture, we're definitely a foodie. We like to eat a lot of, I don't know if it's spices or any sauces. But for me as an athlete, I think most athletes take their nutrition very seriously because it's that extra 5 or 3 or 2% that can make a big difference in your body and in performance. So yeah, my daily vitamins every day, or taking your, let's say, eating your greens or drinking your beetroot juices, that's something that helps me and helps me feel better and feel better on court. So it's little things that that can help you in nutrition, I definitely look at.
And with a look at your specific nutritional sponsors, how do they support you?
Nutritional sponsors? At the moment, I currently don't have one. So I currently don't have one, but if any nutritionist sponsor is watching this after. I think the Sport Ireland, we have a nutritionist in Sport Ireland. He's very helpful. His name's Dave, and he's been quite helpful for me to give me the right to go into like the website that has the right brand that is batch tested. So it's not like any substance that's involved in the doping. He's given me, I get good discounts from the Sport Ireland on some yeah, protein websites, or I'm not sure what it was, but yeah, it's definitely a big help. Yeah.
What about those protein bars, things like that? What does your daily intake of food look like?
Yeah, like from like after training, before training, or
just in general, just to make sure you're in your prime as an athlete.
Yeah, definitely. Definitely before a training session, I would snack on some sort of fruit or snack, just to like rice cakes or something like that. And then when finishing training, yeah, you have your protein to recover. And yeah, I have a couple of fruit as well. So yeah, I definitely like snacking on fruits.
Good. And all your vitamins and minerals must be there, just keeping you healthy.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Yeah.
And you mentioned doping a second ago, and the topic of doping in sport is quite relevant at the moment. Mm. And how important is that trust, and how do you gauge that?
Yeah, I think definitely being an athlete, you want to be performing your best, but doing it clean and not having any advantages over your opponents on court. But yeah, I think as an athlete, you want to do it the best and clean and the fairest way. You want to win clean and fairest way. So yeah, I take that very seriously. Every little medicine I take, I go on, I think it's called the website Airfarm. In Ireland, it's called Airfarm. So you can check if it's allowed in the doping. I don't know, how would you call it? Yeah, if it's not banned, the substance not banned. So yeah, I do that. Everything I take or put in my body, it has to be checked, just in case. You don't want to be that one mistake that could cost my career, yeah, for quite a long time. So yeah, I definitely take it very seriously, and yeah, do a checkup on my medicine and that. Yeah.
And you mentioned Sport Ireland has helped you a lot. How important is sponsorship for athletes to succeed at an elite level?
Yeah, I think it's crucial. I think it's crucial to be funded and to have, you know, to have a environment around it that supports you. I think that's very, to get to the highest level, you need that support, you need that help. You need that help of, like I said, nutrition, physio, injury management, strength and conditioning, and also funding, just to be able to live also. So being carried by the Sport Ireland has been very, I've been carried for the last 2 years. It's been very, very helpful. Definitely since I've gotten out of school and have to pay bills now and etc. So yeah, that's been very helpful in that part. And definitely without a sports council or federation to help you, it's very hard to move forward in the sport. To do it alone, I think, yeah, it's a lot of money and very, very stressful also. So it takes. Also, I only have to worry about on court and perform my best on court. I don't have to worry about stress around me or anything. I just only have to worry about going on court and doing my best every day. So I don't have to worry about the nutritionist aspect, the strength conditioning, because I know there's other people looking after that, and I trust that the program is working. So yeah, definitely, it's Sport Ireland. It's been a great help. So far, yeah.
And you were part of the FBD and the Olympic Ireland commercial.
Yeah.
Tell me about how that happens and what you thought of it all.
Yeah. I was asked by FBD if I want to be a brand app ambassador a couple of years ago. And yeah, I think they were sponsoring for, let's say, young athletes maybe, or some athletes that they were looking for the 2020 that had good potential to go to the 2020 Olympics. So yeah, fortunately I was one of them. So yeah, I'm very blessed to be asked. And I think the ad commercial just came along with it. And yeah, I think that was really cool. To be honest, I've never seen the ad on TV because on actual TV, I've seen it on my phone and I've seen it on laptops when they put it up. But I've never actually seen it on TV because at home, I don't watch TV. I just watch Netflix and maybe a little bit of Amazon Prime. but it's just Netflix. We don't have a TV channel at home. So actually, I've never seen myself on TV, but I've known the ad has been around for at least a year now, I think. Yeah. So it's quite cool just to, I'm on a TV ad. I think any child growing up would want that because it's quite cool, yeah.
Absolutely. It's on YouTube. Have you seen it on YouTube at least?
Yeah, definitely. I've seen it many times, yeah.
Great. What was it like filming it and everything?
Yeah, I think that was my first time filming something that way. I've filmed photo shoots before, but that, like, so I had to jump and do a smash, but just to do it right and I had to hit the shuttle like right at the right spot also. I was quite hard in like this small space we had, but it was quite fun. It was really fun. I really like doing these media and ads and promotion. It's something new. It's not just going to the badminton court and working really, really hard to improve, but it's also, I've worked hard now. I reap the reward, and that was it, I guess. I think, it's really cool. And just to meet new other athletes also that's on their journey to Tokyo 2021 now. So it was really cool and really cool experience. I definitely hope to do more. Yeah.
And what sports commercial would you love to be a part of if you could pick anything?
I think I've seen an ad for the World Cup or Nike or something like that, and I thought it was really cool. I think they were all in cartoons or something like that, and running around kick football. I think to be in a Nike advert, that would be a dream come true, but hopefully Nike will get into badminton sometime soon. But that would be a dream come true to be a part of the Nike advert. I think to be an athlete, to be a part of the Nike ad commercial, I think that's when you know you've made it. I think that's the goal, setting the highest, and we always aim for the highest goal possible, because why do it just to be not the best? You have to do it because you want to be the best.
Absolutely. Well, you're always going for gold if you're going for the Olympics in 2021. So tell me, what kind of are you nervous about it? I mean, it's been put on hold obviously because of COVID. What was that like when you found out it was going to be put on hold?
For me anyway, I felt it was like a blessing in disguise, because I'm still a developing player in the badminton world, so I have an extra year to get stronger, get better in the mental aspect, the physical aspect. So definitely I have a lot can happen in a year. And definitely I felt I've turned since lockdown and the corona pandemic has started. I felt I've improved. So definitely it gives me even that little extra chance to perform better. Even better than I was in 2020. So definitely the version of myself in 2021, I feel it's a lot, a level or two ahead of my version of 2020. So I definitely feel, for me, it was a blessing in disguise. And for me, I didn't really take it too hard, because I feel that I'm still young and I have a couple more Olympics to prove myself. So it was another year. I felt it was great. I get to train. I get to even learn more things in training. I can learn. We have a new coach now in Ireland, so I can learn more things from our new coach and put it in my game for the upcoming Olympics.
So who's your coach now, and how has that been a game changer for you?
I've only started. So our coach started, let's say, 2 months ago, but I was in Denmark for the last 2-3 months practicing and training over there just to get good training. But I've only started this week with our new coach, so definitely it's been very tough so far. Only the first day back, my body's very sore at the moment, so it's definitely been very tough so far, and I hope it's very hard to judge in 3 days, 2.5 days so far. But definitely I have good feelings from him, and yeah, he's from Indonesia. His name's Davis. And yeah, I have a good feeling in, say in my gut that it will be something good. Yeah, something good will come out of it.
Great. And I just want to go over a bit about your success. So you won gold at the European Under 17 Championships in the boys' singles event, and you won bronze at the same event in the doubles when you were partnered with Paul Reynolds.
Yes.
And you've also won your first senior international title at the Polish International in the men's doubles event. And again, you were partnered with Paul Reynolds. And then you went on to win the men's singles title at the Welsh International, and a four-time Irish national champion. So what was the turning point for you when you realized this was what you were going to do with your life, and you weren't going to go down an academic route? You weren't going to go to study accounting or something like that?
I think probably the year that I've won the Europeans on the 17th, but maybe at the start of the year. So at the start of the year, I think I won the Nationals. I think I won it at 15. So I think that was the youngest ever youngest ever player to win it in Ireland. So I think that's probably around that age of 14, 15, I realized I had the potential to go far, let's say, in the sport. And if I keep working hard and doing and keep learning every day, working hard, I think I definitely have the potential to be competing with the best at every tournament. So yeah, I think it's just, and also it's like stubborn, and I feel I'm you have to be, as an athlete, you feel you can produce good results, you can upset people, upset the better players, you can become better and better. So yeah, that's what I feel when I was quite young, and I still feel that to this day. I can become better. I can become, let's say, top 10 in the world. So yeah, definitely. It's just my gut feeling that I have, and definitely believing in it. Yeah.
And is that kind of your personal, that's really coming from within. What was your personal motto be for being an athlete and to be so successful? Because you have been so successful.
Yeah. My personal motto, I would just say, I have one quote in the wall, actually. I can't remember what it was. I have one quote in the wall since I was like 14, and it's still been there. I think my motto, well, I simplify it, is just to work hard when no one's watching you. That's when the real work is done. Yeah. That's been ingrained in me when I was younger. Also, I think by my old coach and my family also. Yeah, when I was brought up and how I was brought up by my parents, and they were very hardworking to get to where they are at the moment. I think that's how I see life, really. I have to work hard for what I want, yeah, and outwork the others, yeah.
I think I've just remembered what it is. Is this the one? Work hard in dark, and one day you may shine under the light.
It's something similar to that. But yeah, I think.
I googled it.
I loved. Actually, it was actually in Michael Phelps. I watched. He was in an ad, and it was. Oh, I can't remember what it was. It was something working in dark, and then. Yeah, something in it, and enjoyed a lot. I don't know, but that's been ingrained in my. That's written down on my wall, just A4, big A4 sheet of paper.
In the dark, it's what you do in the dark that puts you in the light.
Yes, that's it. Yeah. That's it. Yeah. And I think that's stuck with me, since I was younger. So just always, outwork to others. Yeah.
you've mentioned Michael Phelps there. Would he be one of your heroes? Anyone else that you really look up to?
Yeah, I think when I was younger, I would actually, I think it was Olympics 2012. And I think that's when he broke a few records. And then I started watching a few documentaries about him, and he was just an amazing athlete. How I think it was, he hasn't missed a training day in 5 years. So I thought that was crazy at the time, but that's something that I want to do. If you want to be the best, you have to outwork the others. So I looked up to Michael Phelps when I was younger, actually quite a lot, watching a lot of little of his interviews and how he, yeah, just to learn how he gives advice and how he sees things. And just, it was, yeah, it was, when I was younger, I was just always trying to look things how to improve. I think Michael Phelps is one of them. And also, yeah, I had a badminton player who was, his name was Lee Chong Wei when I was younger. I was watching a lot of clips of him trying to do what he does on court when I was younger. It definitely wasn't as good, but just trying to, yeah, it's, I love watching him play. So I tried to emulate what he does on court. Yeah. So, yeah, those were the two when I was younger. I looked up to them.
With regards to athletes that you look up to, for example, yeah. You mentioned in another interview that you have started meditating, and you've put that down to because you heard that LeBron James meditates.
Yeah.
So are there any, yeah, you pick up tips and tricks from different athletes like that? Like, do you look to see what they do and see how can I put that into my own life?
Yeah, definitely. Obviously, what LeBron James does every single day, I can't copy every single one, but I just picked the one that would benefit me, I feel. But I think the meditation started out was when I felt I was losing concentration on court. So I think I asked my older senior teammate, his name is Sam, and I was like, yeah, how can I get better in this? And he was like, meditate. So once I've been meditating for the last 2 years, you just feel like you're in control of yourself, I feel. So definitely meditate every single morning, well, most mornings. So definitely I feel if meditating in the morning, I feel I have more control of the day rather than I'm chasing the day, you know? So yeah, I'm like, it's like you're attacking the day then rather than you're just chasing the day. It feels, and when I don't meditate, when some morning when I'm in a rush or I sleep in or something like that, when I don't meditate, I feel sluggish. Yeah, it's like I'm chasing the day. Oh, what do I have to do now? I have to do this. I have to do that. I have to do this. But rather than it's like, right, I'm doing this time, done. I'm done doing this time, done. So yeah, I think meditating has been, yeah, definitely very helpful for me and definitely on court.
So you kind of touched on that you're kind of envisioning your success and you're manifesting your success. And yeah. I think that's a big part of being successful.
Yeah, like I said, you definitely, it's like you have to see it before you can actually do it. I think I've heard that quote before and I think that's very true. If you feel like you can produce good results, you can perform well, you can do well at certain events, why can't you? So yeah, that's the way I look at it. If you can see it, why can't you do it? So I think, again, I heard that from Conor McGregor and I was like, that's quite interesting. I haven't done that. Let's try that. So yeah, I think actually Conor is a huge, again, a lot of athletes. It's one of my favorite athletes, just how he, yeah, how confident and he talks himself like to believe to what he says, and yeah, how confident he is in his own words. Oh yeah, he was definitely also one of my the athletes that I look up to take little tips and advice off. Yeah.
And how does it feel, like what's the feeling like when you find out you're going to be representing Ireland, or when you win something, or you know, the singles championships for Ireland?
Yeah,
what's that feeling like?
Yeah, I think obviously you feel proud and you feel like, for me anyways, that you feel like you deserve it. You work hard, you've done your bit, you've done so many extra runs, you've done so many extra work that you know your opponent haven't done before. You've done so many things that, yes, I know you're so confident that you deserve it. It's not like it was luck. You feel, yeah, you just feel proud that, yes, it's a great feeling. I think it's hard to explain it really, but yeah, you just feel proud of yourself. And yeah, for me, feel proud for 10-15 minutes. That's the feeling. Then back to work again to get that feeling again. So it's a grind. I think it's, let's say, 99% grind, and then that one feeling of joy that will last forever. So I hope to have many more feelings of that in the coming future. Yeah.
What is the best bit of advice that you've gotten? And what is the advice that you'd give to other aspiring athletes who are looking at you and saying, wow, I'd love to be going off to the Olympics?
Yeah, I think the best advice and what I give for me is, I think I read it in the book a few weeks ago, and I actually looked back and I think, I can't remember who told me, but just, yeah, like I said, just to be a sponge, like take everything in. You don't have to use it, but you just take it in and just try to see what, if someone's telling you and a little advice, yeah, you listen. And yeah, it could be very beneficial. It couldn't, or maybe it's not, but at least you never know. You don't know. So yeah, definitely listen. And I say listening and trying to learn, that would be my advice. And just always trying to improve, listening and learning. You never know what advice or anyone could say to you that could help you or anything. So there's no harm listening, I feel. So definitely an advice to that I would give to, let's say, my younger self, or if I was to talk to a little kid, to a little bunch of kids, young kids playing badminton, I say to listen and to learn, because yeah, like I said, any tips or advice could be helpful. Brilliant.
And just before we go, any aspirations beyond sports? You're so young. I mean, you're only 20, so that's your life.
I actually came up the other day. I think we were starting this soon, maybe. So I think this is the first time I've said it. I like to start my own, let's say, badminton court, and then a venue, and then my own academy, let's say in Ireland, something like that. I'd like to do something like that, to be, let's say, the Nat Academy or something. It's something that I would, yeah, have great passion about. So definitely in my head so far, let's say I'm thinking 10, whatever, 15 years, I have something like that. And yeah, I think my parents were mentioning to me before when I was younger, and my sister was also, but now it's clicked in my head. I was like, yeah, that could be something for the future. So I would like to have something like that, like my own little academy, and to help, let's say, share my feelings and an experience to the younger generation. I don't know, that's very far down the line, but that's something I'd like to do, That's something I would like to do.
Brilliant. Well, Nat,
I'm
going to leave it there. The best of luck.
Thank you very much.
Tokyo 2021. And we'll all be rooting for you, obviously, here at Sport & Doors. And I can't wait to see what's going to happen. And just thank you so much for coming on today.
Yeah, perfect. Thank you for having me. Cheers.
Great talk.
Great chat. Yeah.
What an incredible young man. That's all for this week. Thanks once again to Nat and to everyone continuing to download and listen to the Sit Down. We truly appreciate your support. And if you're interested in partnering with any of our talent, the Sport & Doors platform is now live. You can review and engage talent at platform.sportanddoors.com or download the Sport & Doors app through the Apple Store or Google Play. Be sure to follow Sport & Doors on Facebook, on Twitter, and on Instagram. And until next time, stay safe and take care.
Sports, talent, and brands. Woo!